Well, friends, before we begin our message this morning, I want you to hear God's commandments for us. These are summarized from the New International Reader's Version, the colorful Bibles in the pew racks before you. God says to us, "Do not put other gods in place of me. Do not make for yourself statues of gods. Do not worship them. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your father and your mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not be a false witness against your neighbor. Do not want to have anything your neighbor owns." And then Jesus, God's own Son, summarizes these Ten Commandments in the New Testament with these words: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Love him with all your strength and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as you love yourself." Let all God's people say, amen. Well, I invite you, friends, to turn in your Bibles to Micah, the book of Micah. We're trekking through that book, Micah chapter 3. We're going to read that in a little while. Micah chapter 3. So, beloved in Christ, today, again, I need a young volunteer, and so I've chosen one, unbeknownst to them. Tyler Postma, you've been in the news a lot these days. So why don't you come up here, Tyler, okay? And you're going to help me a little bit, whether you like it or not. But no, if you could come on this side, and I notice you don't have any more bracelets on or anything like that, right? That's great. How are they feeling? Good, good, good. Okay, you can just relax for a minute. So you know, we've been going through the book of Micah, right? And that first week, I don't know if you were here, you remember this, or the congregation probably remembers, we learned about Micah. So, you know, I pretended to be Micah, and we learned who he was, and we learned how he wrote, and we learned the things he thought very carefully about and what his concerns were, okay? So that was the first week, and we'll just toss this over here for a second. All right, and then the next message, grab that, what's in there, and just kind of, yeah, that's a gavel, right? So just kind of be ready to just, you know, look at the congregation and like you're going to really let them have it. Because what we picked up on one of Micah's big concerns, and one of his big concerns was that, you know, God's judgment is on the way. It was on the way for the northern kingdom first, which Micah lived down in the south. But he knew it was coming there, and he knew that soon that judgment, just give it a good hit. I know you want to. Yeah. That judgment was coming to the southern people of Judah as well. Okay? So we got that one. And then the next time we dealt with this, right? So let's hold that up for the congregation to see. It was a money issue, right? Greed and coveting. The people of Judah and people of Israel, too, were treating the poor very badly, okay? And all they thought about was money. They were just greedy and coveting, and they wanted to grab all the land that they could grab from the poor folks. And they did it illegally, or kind of legally, but then they paid off the people in charge. Okay, so that was the third Sunday we talked about. Now, I'll open this up for you, and we can see what's in there. And then you can pick it up and just tell me what it is, okay? Telephone. It's a telephone. You recognize it. That's terrific. I was afraid you might not recognize it because they don't look like this anymore, do they? Right? What is this thing? Is this a new phone or an old? This is like the new iPhone? No, okay. It's an old one, right? Yeah. And how about that? What color is it?
Red.
It's red. Like, oh, yeah, it's important, isn't it? It's like the president uses this one. Okay, what's this thing? You know what that is?
Area code.
Area code, yeah, it says that. But what is this thing? What is that?
It's
What do you do with that?
Type in the number.
Type in the number. You type in the number. See? You thought I was kidding. No, it's a dial, right? That's a dial. You can see by that. And that's how you dialed, right? Do you know that? You've seen one of these before, right? So you'd pick this up. You got a dial tone? You got a dial tone? What? I only have two hands. Yeah. And they're still healing. Okay, so we'll just dial a number, right? So put it to your ear. See if you hear anything. You hear anything? Okay, 616. All right. There's no sound, though, right? Right? And that's how you dial before, right? You probably know that. But now, of course, it's like you said, you type in, right? You type in. And this is the thing to, like, you're talking and you just want to hang up on someone real fast because you would want to do that, right? You'd put it down like that. And then you'd hang up, right? Your mom knows about this sort of thing. She picks things up. So, but let's pretend now that you wanted to make a call. And what do you hear? Anything at all?
No.
Just listen. This is the thing you talk into. This is the thing that goes to your ear. You don't hear anything. Okay. You think normally there would have been a cord coming out of this, even though everything's cordless now. You think there would have been a cord coming out into the wall. They call this a landline, right? You've heard that term. And this is the receiver, right? You talk into it. But right now, there's nothing, right? There is just nothing. It's silent. It's silent. Come on. It's just silent, so we'll just keep the phone off the hook in case you don't want anybody to call. And so this is the problem with Judah, with Israel right now, okay? They're having a problem after all these other things. Now they're kind of thinking, well, why isn't God answering us? Why, you know, we're trying to talk to him, we're not getting an answer. He's not talking to us. So the problem they're having right now is the silence of God, okay? And this phone kind of demonstrates that. I saw this phone once. I thought, I want that phone. I'm going to keep it for something like this, okay? So the fourth message, we're going to talk about the silence of God. The people always had a direct line to God through the prophets and through the priests and such. Now he's silent. They can't even get a dial tone anymore. There'd be a tone, but no dial tone. So God is not speaking to them like he used to. So that's the problem here today, and we're going to try to figure out the reason for that problem. Why is God being silent? Okay? Okay, so you can head back. Give him a hand, because that... So now, we read Micah chapter 3. Micah chapter 3. Thanks, Tyler, so much. Appreciate it. Micah chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Then I said, listen, you leaders of Jacob, you rulers of Israel, should you not embrace justice? You who hate good and love evil, you who tear the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones, who eat my people's flesh, strip off their skin and break their bones in pieces, who chop them up like meat for the pan, like flesh for the pot. Then they will cry out to the Lord, but he will not answer them. At that time, he will hide his face from them because of the evil they have done. This is what the Lord says. As for the prophets who lead my people astray, they proclaim peace if they have something to eat, but prepare to wage war against anyone who refuses to feed them. Therefore, night will come over you without visions and darkness without divination. He's talking to the prophets now. The sun will set for the prophets and the day will go dark for them. The seers will be ashamed and the diviners disgraced. They will all cover their faces because there is no answer from God. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression. Now Micah is talking about himself here, to Israel his sin. This is God's word through Micah. Hear this, you leaders of Jacob, you rulers of Israel who despise justice and distort all that is right, who build Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with wickedness. Her leaders judge for a bribe, her priests teach for a price, and her prophets tell fortunes for money. Yet they look for the Lord's support and say, is not the Lord among us? No disaster will come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble, the temple hill a mound overgrown with thick. thickets. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, friends, hopefully you heard how God was silent in that passage, not answering his people. But what we want to understand is the direct reason for the silence of God. Because there are times that God seems so silent to us also. We read his word, we pray, we get all spiritual, and still it seems that God sometimes stays so silent. Why is that? Sure, there are many times we can't know the answer to that. It's beyond our understanding, out of our control. God has reasons only known to him. But this passage in Micah does give us one reason that, believe it or not, is in our control. What reason does God have here to be silent toward his own people? Maybe you think it's that greed again. What we talked about last time, the wealthy folks stealing property from the poor folks. They treated their own poor terribly. And God is not about to listen to people who do that. Maybe, but I believe that is only an indirect reason for God to be silent here. There is a direct reason, and we've got to uncover it. A few moments ago, we read the Ten Commandments and the summary of the law of those commandments. Love God above all, love neighbor as selves. We read those right at this point in the service. We don't usually do that. But we read those right near the message to give us a hint about the direct reason for God's silence here. And it's a reason we can do something about. For the commandments, you see, are a tutor, a teacher for sin. They point us to the reality that we are all sinners because we have all broken God's commands. When we hear them, we are reminded again that we are sinners every single day. And so, listen, we need to come to God to confess our sin, to repent of our sin. The commandments are the hint. Because when we don't confess our breaking of the commands, that failure, that refusal to confess on our part can be the direct reason God goes silent. Unconfessed sin. Unrepentant hearts. That's the reason here for God's silence. It was unconfessed because the people of Israel's leaders simply ignored it. They didn't see the evil they were doing as sin. The coveting and the land grabbing of chapter 2, they just didn't see it as sin. And so they felt they had no need in their minds to get down on their knees before God and beg for his merciful forgiveness. Unconfessed sin, they never even thought about confessing it. And so Micah is trying to wake them up to see the reason, this reason that God has gone silent on them. It's their unconfessed sin. Not only their sin, it's that they have sinned and don't see it as sin. Don't care that it's sin. Don't want to be bothered with their sin. It's the direct reason for God's silence here, and their unconfessed sin in turn causes four big problems, still causes them today. Number one, we have been mentioning it this whole time already. Unconfessed sin deafens your deity. That's the main point. Unconfessed sin deafens God. You go prayer after prayer with God, day after day, week after week, and you don't even attempt to address the sins in your life before him. Well, according to the text, there comes a point when God turns a deaf ear. Unconfessed sin on our part deafens the deity, deafens God to us. At some point, he doesn't even allow us to get through. All circuits are busy. Try your call again. And you try again, you're not going to get through. Why? I thought God heard every prayer. He does. I thought God will help me through thick and thin. Oh, he does. But the text suggests that there's something about bringing the stain of sin into God's presence before God's throne and not owning up to it, not even acknowledging it, not even caring, not even realizing it's an offense to our King. There's something about that that simply turns God away. Verse 4 says, he will hide his face from them. Verses 4 and 7 say, he will not answer. There is no answer from God. He becomes deaf to us. Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. David, King David, prayed that after committing adultery. God is not deaf to a contrite heart, to a broken spirit, but God is deaf to a heart stained with sin that wants to stay stained, that doesn't even see the stain, or sees it and doesn't care. Unconfessed sin deafens your deity. Number two, unconfessed sin destroys your community. Those rich leaders of Israel, along with the entire community of the people, of the prophets, the priests, the political leaders, the judges, an entire community was in cahoots together. They were all getting in on the action, all getting a little greasy, dirty money over this land grabbing from the poor, coveting and stealing from the poor. The priests didn't preach against it if you let them in a little bit on the action. The prophets said God was not going to judge them as long as you greased their palms. The judges made it easy by sailing it all through the courts really fast, provided you gave them a nice Christmas bonus. And the rich just got more land and got richer. What a mess of a community. That unconfessed sin totally disconnected that community from each other. Like that phone message, right? The number you have reached, 616-555-6789, has been disconnected. No further information is available for 616-555-6789. And I know some of these are from a few years back. God's entire community was effectively being destroyed. Destroyed. The rich were destroying the poor, destroying the community of God's people. And the leaders don't see it or refuse to see it. So Micah resorts to this shocking, cannibalistic language. He doesn't say, "You're destroying your community." He says, "You are tearing the skin from my people." Remember, Micah was from a poor rural town, probably a victim of the land grab. Tearing the flesh from their bones, eating my people's flesh, stripping off their skin, breaking their bones to pieces, chopping them up like meat for the pan, like flesh for the pot. Micah tells them, "This is just awful what you're doing." This language is shocking. It's the language we have reserved for the most hardened and sick and disgusting crimes and criminals, cannibalistic language. This is just vulgar and disgusting. That's right. That's what they were doing. A vulgar and disgusting, revolting thing. And when no one pointed out the revulsion and no one felt the need to confess this sin, to repent of it, what it amounted to was that they were destroying their own community from within. They were disconnecting themselves from the poor. They were disconnecting everyone from everyone else. The number you have reached has been disconnected. You have no more connection with these people. Micah tries to shock them into realizing their sin and bringing them down on their faces before God to confess their sin. Until they do, community will be destroyed. Number three, unconfessed sin disrupts your ability. And for this one, we have to look closely at a particular group of people in the passage, the prophets. The ones who were supposed to be getting their messages from God and then telling those same messages to God's people. But these other prophets are all in it for the money. If the wealthy pay them well, they'll prophesy peace. Peace for the wealthy. But if they don't get their money, they'll prophesy doom and gloom for the wealthy. So it's a no-brainer. Pay these guys well and we'll get the message we want. Peace. We get richer, we get more land, and we get a blessing of peace from the prophets. How about that? Except for Micah, the lone voice, of course. Micah, filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, with justice and might. Micah, who is trying to point out the transgressions and sins and injustices of God's people to God's people. But none of the other prophets were doing that. Just Micah. Only Micah. So what eventually happens to the other prophets is they lose their ability to even prophesy. Did you catch that when we read it? They were trained to seek God. They went to school for it. They learned from the prophets before them how to seek God, how to find God's will. And it happened through visions, through divination, through other means that God allowed them to experience and then expected them to prophesy accordingly. But when they didn't, when they proved to be useless because of their unwillingness to point out the sins of the people, refusing to demand confession of sin from the rich folks, the result was God took away their ordination, their installation. The text says, therefore, night will come over you without visions, and darkness without divination. The sun will set for the prophets, and the day will go dark for them. The seers will be ashamed. The diviners will be disgraced. They will all cover their faces because there's no answer from God. In other words, they will lose their prophesying abilities. They will lose their giftedness. Unconfessed sin disrupted their ability. Now, carry that forward to today. You have unconfessed sin in your life. How in the world do you expect to use your spiritual giftedness? Your gifts in the church, for the church, to enrich and serve the church, to reach out with the gospel, to renew your community, to grow closer to Jesus. The text says you have unconfessed sin in your life. Don't expect to be able to use your gifts and abilities and talents very well at all. Because getting right with God needs to be done first. Needs to be done regularly, daily. Then you will serve and serve well. The elders and deacons we just installed, and the others too, the pastors, the leaders, the counselors, the teachers in the church, the disciplers, all our ministries will be hampered, hindered, and handicapped if we leave sin unconfessed in our lives. Let's never forget that. It's like the operator interrupting a call, huh? Breaking in on a call. She starts talking to you, and you're trying to talk to the other party still. And that operator somehow can prevent that, where you are only allowed to talk to her. You're on a landline or even a payphone if there still are some around. And you need to add more money. And the operator pops on the line, disrupting your phone call and says, another 50 cents, please. But you try to keep talking to your friend and he can't hear you. You can't hear him. Not till you add those two quarters. Your conversation is disrupted. That's unconfessed sin. It disrupts your ability, your service, your giftedness, your talents that are supposed to be used for God's glory. Unconfessed sin prevents that from happening. So get with God. Get with God to undisrupt your abilities by confessing your sins. And number four, unconfessed sin defaces your reality. Boy, that's getting philosophical, isn't it? As followers of Christ, your reality has a face on it, a face of grace. Unconfessed sin, never seeing a need to confess your sins, unconfessed sin defaces the reality of grace in your life. It defaces the face of grace. It cheapens it. It puts a false face on it, a false face on grace. Now, again, probably happened a while back, but you ever have that experience when you're on the phone and you're put on into an answering machine or into voicemail and you talk and you give your message, and in the middle of your message there's a second quiet beep. Beep. There's the first beep. Well, that's the one that tells you to start talking. But then inexplicably there's a tiny little beep after just a couple seconds. What's that beep? Can I keep talking? Can I give my message or not? Hello? Am I just talking and this really isn't being recorded? You ever have that experience? Or you're put on hold and you're sure you're queued up in line to be helped once someone picks up, and there's silence. And there's more silence. and you wish there was a little music, even if it's terrible music, and that would make you feel a little better, but silence is fine, I guess it is, but all of a sudden the phone line just goes to loud beeping, beep, 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 or dial tone, or it just cuts you off. It's dead. You were never on hold. You were never queued up for being cut off. There was a false face on your reality. The reality was these covetous, land-grabbing, unjust, merciless for the poor leaders had long ago moved away from God's side. They weren't on God's side. Their unconfessed sin had seen to that, and so that had a false face on grace. They defaced it. Of course the Lord is among us. Of course no disaster will come upon us. God is on our side. God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. That's what we've been taught. God would never leave us or forsake us. And the subtext is, we can do what we want. Who cares about sin anymore? When you've got a God of grace in your back pocket who's on your side, this grace is so cheap. Look at all the benefits we get, and we can still keep on sinning and not give a rip about it. What a racket! God is on our side. God will protect us. They defaced grace and still felt sure that somehow God would be at their beck and call. And Micah says to them, that's not how it works. Grace isn't cheap. God's not on your side. You are either on his side or not. And since you're not, since you neither want to confess your sins nor see a need to, there will be punishment. Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will be left a heap of rubble. The temple overgrown with thickets. That sounds a little Old Testament though, doesn't it? I mean, grace is cheap, isn't it? It's free. God does it all, right? We teach that. Jesus died on the cross. God gave him as a gift, a free gift. That's cheap. Micah says, no, it's not cheap. God says, no, it's not cheap. Suffering and death and spiritual agony under the infinite wrath of God against our sins placed on the Son of God as he was crucified on the cross. It's free. But it's never cheap. The Apostle John writes in 1 John 1, and he could have been writing for the leaders of Israel during Micah's time, and he also could be writing for us today. He is. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. Truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins, purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we've not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. We don't have to pay for any of that. It is indeed free. And God is just gushing over with grace to forgive our sins. But it did not come cheaply. This grace did not come cheaply. Grace, Christ, punished eternally for your and my sins. Grace is supposed to inspire a profound sense of sadness and grief over our sins, an earnest desire to seek God and his forgiveness for those sins, to confess them with remorse and seek the joy of his faithful forgiveness, which he freely and gladly gives. God tells us that this is how it works. His children more and more come to an awareness of the stain that is sin in their lives and the need for confession, daily confession, and seeking God's forgiving grace once again and again and again. That's being on God's side. That's putting the right face on grace. Sincere confession of sin puts the right face on grace. The Apostle Paul, as you know, as he matured in the faith, said that he had a greater and greater sense of his sin. I'm the worst of sinners, he said. because he saw what a blemish it was. When he saw it lined up in front of God's grace as its backdrop. That's what grace is supposed to do. It's supposed to drive us to our knees in confession. It's supposed to bring us a profound awareness of our sin and our need for God's forgiveness. Not so we can walk around all down and out about our sins, but so that we can seek out the joy of his forgiveness every day. It's a daily thing. Confession is a daily thing. It needs to be, because it puts the right face back on grace. Snaps us back to reality. And, by the way, confession of sin unsilences our God for us. So now we're going to do that. Confess our sins. We're going to pray a prayer of confession right now to conclude the message today. Let's go to our God. Is it any wonder, Father in heaven, that our reality is defaced, that our abilities are disrupted, that our community is destroyed, and that you turn a deaf ear to us? Is it any wonder that our whole spiritual life starts spiraling down when sin is left unconfessed? Each system that's supposed to work well when we are repentant goes out of order, a catastrophic system-wide shutdown, disconnected, all circuits busy. Is it any wonder this happens? No, it isn't. Not when we grasp again a sense of the offense of our sin in your eyes. When we begin again to hate sin like you hate sin. So now we seek you to confess our sins, to seek your cleansing, to ask humbly for your forgiveness. We lay the stain of our sins at the foot of the cross, where we will find your free and faithful forgiveness. For some of us, we do this every day as we should. For some of us, we think about sin, we feel the guilt of it, we're weighed down by it, but we don't go to you with it. And for some of us, we're afraid what you will find if we go to you. We dare not bring our deepest, dirtiest, secret sins before you. We're afraid. Afraid you will see and hear and that we will find an angry God. We can't afford to have a God who will hear what we have to say. There's no telling how you will respond. We're scared. But you promise to listen to the words of contrite children. You promise to forgive freely by your grace and by the blood of Jesus. You promise to not turn a deaf ear to us. And so we go into your presence now to silently before you confess our sins. Hear us now. Hear us as we pray in silence. Lord God, we shudder to think, what if you were a God who was deaf? A God who turned a deaf ear to what you just heard? What if you wouldn't respond with grace and forgiveness? But as surely as we hear the ring of this phone, Lord, how much more can we be confident that you heard our prayers and forgave us. How silly of us to worry or be afraid. Thank you for listening and for forgiving and for shining the light of your face upon your children. So help us. Help us to come daily in confession this way, from this day forward. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.